This is Cityscape. I'm Jim Kircher from the Nine Network, filling in for Steve Potter today. Later in the program, we'll be talking about an upcoming show featuring the music of the local duo Sleepy Kitty, combining music, art, and science at the planetarium. They'll be firing up the lasers again. We'll be exploring the music of the African diaspora with members of the a cappella ensemble Shades of Yale. But first, a guest whose year I think is starting off pretty nicely. Stephanie Berg is a young composer. She'll be having one of her compositions performed next weekend by the St. Louis Symphony. Stephanie Berg, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's got to be a thrill.
It is, to say the least.
So how did this happen? First of all, I said young composer. You're not yet 30, so
right.
You can check this one off. St. Louis Symphony playing one of your pieces. How did it happen? What was the process for making this happen?
I think the first step was really that I was selected to be part of Mizzou's 2012 International Composers Festival. At that point, I believe it was called the Mizzou New Music Summer Festival. And when you're selected for that, you are commissioned to write a piece for this ensemble called Alarmal Sound, which is this really fantastic ensemble that focuses on playing new music. They're kind of, you know, the people that if you're a composer, you want them to play your music, you know. So it's a really big opportunity just in and of itself. But that year, the Singfield Charitable Foundation, I believe, had made an agreement with David Robertson that he would look over some of the music from the festival, and as to what he wanted to do with it was completely up to him. But he took a look at four pieces, and mine happened to be one of them, and he selected two. And I eventually found out that mine was one of them, and I went through the roof.
Yeah, you're on the program with Beethoven. That's pretty good.
I am opening for Beethoven. That's pretty cool.
Now, the New Music Initiative, and I know lots of people have eclectic tastes, and some people are saying, ooh, new music, not sure I'm going to like it.
Uh-huh.
But I listened to the piece, and we're going to hear a little bit of it in a bit. I hope this isn't an insult to say it's accessible.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, I actually go for accessibility. I'm a little weird, I suppose, in that I like to make things that people enjoy partaking in. You know, I want to write things that people enjoy playing, things that they enjoy listening to. And I don't feel that it compromises my compositional voice at all to do so. It's a very natural process for me.
It feels, as I was listening to it, it has a lot of different things in it, but it sounded to me American.
A lot of people have said that. You know, I grew up in this country. If my music sounds American, that might, yeah. You know, that might have something
and
to
I'm
do
not
with
exactly
it.
Sure what that means, except that you hear a little bit
sure.
of Copland in there.
Yes. Well, I do gravitate towards Copland-type harmonies, so that is definitely something that's an aspect of the music.
This is a piece called Ravish and Mayhem. You want to give me a little bit about the title before we hear a little bit of it?
The idea for the piece actually came years before I was selected for the summer festival. And I was driving along on I-70, and I'm just sort of spacing off, you know, just kind of daydreaming. And I was sort of pondering, you know, what sort of piece I might write if I ever had the opportunity to write for Alarmal Sound. And I had just met the group. I'd met the people in it, and they are so vivacious. They are so fun and full of life. Any piece that I wrote for them would have to encapsulate that. And so once I figured that out, I started to hear the piece, as you will hear it at the concerts, and it was a lot of fun. What I sort of imagined, my mind kept gravitating, to some reason, towards some kind of exotic location. I was thinking maybe the ancient Middle East or something like that, and some kind of really wild street festival. So that was the image I kept in my head as I was writing it. And basically, I envisioned just kind of a party that's gone haywire.
Well, let's go ahead and listen to just the opening for a bit, and we'll talk about it.
Thank you.
but now I think with this where we're getting it a little bit into what reminded me of Copland. This is going to be a bigger sound, though, with the symphony. This is not the St. Louis Symphony playing this.
Correct, yes. The piece was originally written for a chamber orchestra, and I've revamped it to a full orchestra setting.
And we have elephants coming, I think?
Yes, there are elephants that will announce the ending. I don't know. There needed to be elephants.
Well, sure. I'm curious about, you were talking about driving along the interstate, and I'm curious about someone who... We'll talk a little bit about how you got started in this, but when you become a composer, do you, you know, some people who are writers, they write from 5 in the morning till 10 and then stop. Is that the discipline you need to compose and keep probably a piece of paper or a recorder by you so you can catch those ideas on the interstate?
Everybody has a different compositional process, and mine, I think, is kind of anomalous. I usually get my ideas when I'm on the road or if I'm walking a long distance, usually when I'm traveling in some sort of manner. And I guess it's just kind of it's a quiet time. It's a time I can just let my mind wander. I rely very heavily on my memory, actually. I don't keep a recorder by me. I rely on remembering small segments of whatever I hear enough that I can come back to it later and kind of expand on it. It's worked so far. As far as having a disciplined time to write, it just kind of depends on, I've told people, it depends on when my deadline is. It doesn't matter how far away it is either. It always seems to take exactly the amount of time I am given.
A lot of people do their best work under a deadline. That's when the things begin to fall into place.
Right.
This is something I have never done. I've hummed some tunes to myself, right? But we're talking about multiple voices.
Right.
So I'm curious, do you start with a melody or do you start with that entire orchestration in your head? Do you hear the whole process or do you say, I've got this line and I'm going to build off of that?
The initial inspiration usually plays to me like a tape recorder. So I hear it very, very clearly and I can hear all the parts. After the initial inspiration, that's where the hard work comes in, you know, and then you have to figure out where the music goes from the obvious melody that you've come up with, you know, how am I going to expand this into a full-length piece of music? And I have moments of clarity during that whole process, and, you know, there's also a lot of banging my head on the wall as well.
Yeah, I mean, you have the same problem. I think that I'm more of a writer, where you have a transition.
Right.
You need a new topic sentence.
Yes.
It's going too smoothly. So it feels like that this piece comes out whole. But there's got to be a lot of struggle in certain. You probably look at certain measures and say, wow, that was a hard one.
Yes, actually. It is very involved. I do compare the process of writing music very much to writing English, writing a paper. A lot of people wonder, you know, where does your inspiration come from? How does that all come about? And it's as much a mystery to me, and I think many composers, as it is to, you know, anyone else. Although I like to compare it to writing a paper. If you have an idea of what you want to say, you know, how do you find the words to say it? And I think that musical ideas and verbal ideas do kind of come from the same place, or at least it seems that way to me.
Let's talk a little bit. Did you start out taking clarinet lessons in grade school? Is that you come from a musical family? What's the story?
Well, my parents both teach piano, and I decided at the age of 6 that I would take piano from my mom. And so I started on piano, and I continued with that for a long time. The school district I was in, we didn't actually start band until 7th grade. So,
and you're from the Kansas City area originally,
yes.
Correct?
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah.
So you're going into band.
So I'm going into band. 7th yeah. grade, I went into band. I chose the clarinet. My dad conducts a community band, and I asked him what instruments he could use more of in the band, and he told me clarinet. So I was like, good enough for me. So that's what I picked. And it worked out very well. The interesting thing is that composition didn't actually become an actual career avenue until very late into my undergraduate career.
Yeah, I was wondering how that happens. I know people who become professional musicians, some of them become soloists, some of them become teachers, some of them become conductors, some of them become composers. At what point did you see, and maybe you're not totally one thing or the other, but at what point did you start thinking of yourself potentially as a composer?
Well, it's interesting. I actually remember the exact moment. I had just won the Singfield Composition Prize, which is a school-wide competition in composition at Mizzou. And part of the prize is that you are commissioned to write a piece for a full orchestra. Now, the first piece that I ever wrote seriously was actually the one I submitted, and it's the one that won. And so the second serious piece I ever wrote was for a full orchestra, which was a little overwhelming. But I pulled it off. I created something that was at least listenable. And my teacher turned to me, Stefan Freund, and said, as he was, you know, looking the piece over and kind of editing it, he said, "You could be a composer." And it was kind
of... That's a nice thing to hear.
I know. And I guess all I needed was for somebody to give me permission, I guess. You know, because, I mean, that's what did it. And I was like, huh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Do you compose on the piano and then put out the parts? Or how do you do this? What's the process?
I do a little of everything. And I find that my process varies from piece to piece. Usually, I go directly from my head into the computer music writing software. Sometimes I need to figure things out on the keyboard, maybe sound out chords or harmonies. And other times I try to draw pictures or write maybe a paragraph about what the piece is about, you know. And it, I guess I'm fresh enough as a composer that I'm still kind of finding my process in a way. But I also like to vary it up as much as I can.
Let's talk a little bit about this term, new music. And you were from the Mizzou New Music Initiative, an incubator really for composers like yourself and for new music. Explain to me a little bit about what we mean by new music, or what you mean by new music, which frankly isn't really all that new anymore, is it?
It's a very interesting term, because what a lot of people reference as new music, you know, they start to think of like Stravinsky as new music. And Stravinsky was like, you know, that was over 100 years ago. It's almost a genre rather than a time period in a way, although... You know, different people use it for different things at different times. When I talk about new music, you know, I'm usually talking about people that are still alive and still writing. It kind of varies. It's a very enigmatic term.
It's always being redefined. I mean, you're part of a new generation of composers. I don't know if you feel part of a new generation. Do you have a sense that of what's happening in your world at this point for your generation?
Well, at least from my perspective, it seems that it's becoming much, much more acceptable to write in your personal voice, whatever that may be. And that is including things that were no-no topics like popular music and jazz and influences from anything, you know, whatever you like to listen to. You know, if you want to incorporate that into a piece of fine art music, then do it. You know, at this point, all options are on the table, which is really cool.
Yeah, I'll say this. It was... enjoyable to listen to. Take
Thank
that
you.
For yeah, and
Thank you.
I think everybody, well, anybody who's going to the symphony, they can hear Stephanie Berg's work, Ravish and Mayhem. It's about 6 or 7 minutes long. It's not a full symphony or anything like that. Performed next week, Friday, Saturday, January 10th and 11th. By congratulations, the St. Louis Symphony. Thanks for joining us, Stephanie.
Thank you very much.
This is Cityscape on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.